So this is exactly what that redevelopment plan was designed to do. They meet 99% of it, there's a couple minor reliefs, a one-foot setback to a compression unit. This is exactly why this area was created as a redevelopment area, to take out old dilapidated buildings. Like, we've been getting complaints from the neighbors about this structure for several years now in code, even more so that it's boarded up. We love saving older buildings, this one's beyond its reasonable life. So minimal relief here is being requested with the redevelopment plan, meets the parameters of that whole plan, in my opinion, and it's an excellent addition to North Beach. The parking, you're gaining some parking spaces here, you're gonna lose some on-street, you're gonna lose two or three spaces there, maybe even three, on that corner, but I think this is a good offset for that. It's a good use for that neighborhood. Townhomes is kind of fits in with the density that's there, it's well under the density that's permitted. And the city will work on the one-way drivers, wrong-way drivers, if we can. More signage, maybe some arrows in the street, paint them on the street, that helps a little bit. It helps over here with Cambridge, so hopefully that'll help. And I'll talk to the folks at the movie theater about deliveries. I vote yes on the application, I'm very supportive of it, I think it's a great project for the city.
Joe Ironizelli?
So the existing properties that are there now, I've been in them, all three of them, multiple times. Anything you put there is an improvement, but these are very well done. I think it's gonna be beneficial to the neighborhood and the neighbors as well. I'm excited to see those other properties go, so I approve.
We'll welcome you back to the new ones.
Yeah.
Jay Cook?
Ventnor's on the move. This is a good example. 20 years ago, or over 20 years ago, in a fast rewind, we were discussing a redevelopment plan that was hatched but never ever completed. The legacy of that plan, it still exists, and it's being used in a suitable manner, piece by piece, as the opportunities present itself. This is an example of, well, things don't turn exactly at the speed we want them to, but eventually they get done, and they provide an orderly fashion. In many cities, this never happens. It's happening here in Ventnor. And what's occurring is an obsolete building that is a detriment, basically to us financially, as well as in the long term of the optics of the city, the view of the city, and the development of our business districts is being replaced by, not by the city, but by entrepreneurs who are investing their own money, which is what we depend upon. The city is not in the redevelopment business. We create an environment which is, this is success, and it's, I have to thank the people, those the residents who have worked with us, and those who are taking the opportunity. Now, when it comes into a business district, the business district is only as good as the surrounding those who support it. So walking neighborhoods become important as well, and rejuvenation of those neighborhoods become important. It's an ecosystem, if you will. And with that is occurring, and that's part of our master plan. And we have an administration and area that's seeing to it that it's getting done, and so on. We have people that are taking advantage of it. And you, the residents of here, are talking things over, maintaining your properties, and creating that environment that people want to be here and want to come to this community. So you're a part of it too. I have to thank all of you, because you're as important as the actual nature of the job. It takes all of us to improve a community. And this is a good example of all working together. So our master plan is working, our residents are working, and this board is trying to listen to everyone as well. I thank you, and I thank our commission, but also I thank the board members for their time. And so on. It's a job well done, and it needs to keep going. I vote yes.
Lorraine Salada?
I think it's a really worthwhile project. What's existing there now, kind of the stain on the whole street,
and it is a heavily trafficked street, so this will be really an improvement. I'm sure everybody in the neighborhood will be happy. The parking, it's always a problem, so there'll be some spots lost, but there'll be some gains. So I definitely vote in favor of it, and I'm excited to see it happen.
Dan Smith III.
Well, I'm looking at this as one of the cornerstones of North, you know,
Beach.
Yeah, North Beach. And I love the project. It's, you know, single family dwellings. It's not apartments. It's not cut up. You know, we're now seeing something that will, I believe, will create further development once people see this. And North Beach is really on the rise with this. And it's great ratables for the city. It'll bring great people here. And I love the design. I love the greenery that you put in. You know, to see that on Winchester Avenue there is, it'd be great, you know. It'll keep, maybe make the dog walkers think twice about looking at green grass and leaving it that way. But that's, that irrigation thing is really important to keeping that way. But this is a great project. Bobby did a wonderful job, and the team did a great job. So I'm in favor.
Tim Coop.
I also vote in favor. I think this is a great project. I think the waivers and variances are small, and given that this has two front yards, it's, you know, that offers a challenge. I think the project will be a great addition to the neighborhood.
Wendy Bartlett.
I also vote in favor. I think it's a beautiful project. I thank you for tearing down that building. For all the reasons that have already been stated, I approve.
Jessica Stilley.
I'm going to vote in favor as well. I also agree. I really do think this is a good project. You're dropping down from 10 units down to 3 units. And I do think this project and this development is a really good fit for this area. I think my only one concern really was that frontage on Winchester, and I think you're agreeing to add a little more visual interest there will make a big difference and go a long way.
Thank you very much.
You are approved, and good luck with the project. Take care.
Thank you.
If we could, we're going to take a 10-minute recess. Everybody's been sitting for about 2 hours, and we'll be back here with our final case. 10-minute recess. This meeting is now back in the session. We're on the record. The next application is that of the 6601 Bentner Avenue. Mr. Crackley, you're representing?
Yes, good evening. Excuse me, Jay.
Okay.
I have to recuse myself.
Oh, let the record reflect.
Okay.
Dan Smith is stepping away from the board. He is recusing himself, and he is in separation now. And we do still have a majority here on the board, so we can carry on. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good evening, board members, mayor, councilmen, professionals. May it please the board, my name is Jack Plachter. I'm an attorney with Fox Rothschild offices at 1301 Atlantic Avenue, Atlantic City, New Jersey. I represent the applicant tonight, DAG Bentner LLC. I do have with me some of the experts, Dave Waxman, who's the principal, Aaron Smith, who are principals of the applicant. Also have John Barnhart, who is licensed professional planner and the engineer for the project. I have Mr. Ragazzoni, who's the project architect, and finally we have Dave Shropshire, who's our traffic engineer. don't know if you want to swear them in now or after my introduction.
Everybody sworn in now, please.
Okay. Everybody stand.
Just go down the line and state, give us your name and business address.
You'll have to have those in the back come forward because they have to speak into the mic so everybody can hear them.
David Waxman, 12 South Cambridge Avenue.
Yeah, everybody use the microphone.
Robert Regazzoni, 13200 Fountainhead Plaza, Hagerstown.
Aaron Smith, Philly, Philadelphia.
John Barnhart, office address 400 Dover Avenue, New York City.
David Shropshire, 277 Waters Place.
Okay, can each of you please raise your right hand? You swear affirm the testimony you give this evening to be the truth? Thank you.
And for the record, Roger McLaren is still sworn.
Thank you.
Now, we have people, I couldn't keep track of all their credentials. You have an architect, John Barnhart, we know his credentials are acceptable. What other gentlemen do you have that you can name or they can stand up and state their credentials?
Sure. So we have Robert Regazzoni, who was sworn in. He's the project architect.
He's an architect. Okay, Robert, with a license in the state of New Jersey?
Registered in the state of New Jersey, yes.
Okay, thank you.
And we have Dave Shropshire, who is a licensed engineer who specializes in transportation and traffic.
You're licensed in the state of New Jersey also, correct? Okay.
For a long time.
Okay. I've heard your name before, so... is there anyone else?
No.
Okay, thank you. Let the record reflect those two stipulated and pre-named John Barnhart. Credentials are acceptable. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. This is an application for preliminary and final major site plan and preliminary and final major subdivision approval to subdivide the property into 34 residential lots and one commercial lot, and to construct 34 townhomes and other amenities and improvements, and to improve the existing commercial building that fronts on Ventnor Avenue, to include, but not be limited to, constructing two patios and some parking for use by the commercial tenants. Unlike the other two applications that you heard this evening, this application requires no variances at all. It's in total conformance with the redevelopment plan. The property is commonly known and identified as 6601 Ventnor Avenue and designated as Block 123, Lot 1 on the official tax map of the City of Ventnor. The project is consistent with the Ventnor Professional Campus Redevelopment Plan. Townhomes and commercial uses are each permitted uses in accordance with the redevelopment plan. The underlying zoning is MU mixed-use development. As required by the Ventnor City Ordinance and the New Jersey Municipal Land Use Law on October 14th, 2025, I caused a notice to be served on all property owners within 200 feet of the property. In addition, on October 9th, a notice of this hearing was published in the Press of Atlantic City in the legal section. Finally, taxes are current, so I believe that we do have jurisdiction for the hearing. I just want to give a little background of how we got here. So this has been kind of a long process. I think we started out with a community meeting that we had at Santucci's, and we presented this, we sent notices out, and we told people what we were doing because we thought that we wanted to try to be as transparent as possible for this project. We then met with the Board of Commissioners of the city. And the Board of Commissioners authorized and directed the Ventnor City Planning Board to undertake a preliminary investigation to determine whether certain property designated as this property should be designated as an area in need of redevelopment, to develop a redevelopment plan pursuant to the redevelopment law. The Planning Board then undertook the required study and recommended that the Commissioners declare the study area in need of redevelopment. The Board of Commissioners of Ventnor City, by way of resolution 394 of 2023, so we've been at this for a while, adopted on December 21st, 2023, declared the property block 123 Lot 1, as an area in need of redevelopment pursuant to the local redevelopment and housing law. The Ventnor Professional Campus redevelopment plan was thereafter prepared for the study area and introduced by the commissioners on first reading by ordinance 2025-05 on March 27th, 2025. The planning board then was presented with the and reviewed the redevelopment plan at a hearing held on two dates, both April 9th, 2025 and April 28th, 2025. And by way of planning board resolution 13 of 2025 found the redevelopment plan to be consistent with the city's master plan. So this board made a consistency finding. The city of Ventnor and the commissioners on May 22nd for ordinance 2025-05 adopted the redevelopment plan based on planning board's finding of consistency and which sets forth the plan for redevelopment of the property. On October 9th of 2025, the commissioners by way of resolution 320 of 2025 approved the redevelopment agreement with this redeveloper and also appointed DAJ as redeveloper for the area. There's a lot of members of the public here, and we certainly want to hear your input, and we appreciate your attendance. But we believe that when you look at the existing property, that this is a significant project that will help transform the redevelopment area into a transformative development that will enhance the neighborhood and economic development of the city. Rooftops and an enhanced commercial development is going to be positive for everybody. I know there's concerns about traffic and parking, and we're going to address all those in our presentation. So with that, I'd like to call as my first witness, Mr. John Barnhart. You were previously sworn. And you did, Mr. Chairman, accept him as an expert in engineering and planning, is that correct?
You know who he is.
Okay, thank you.
No, he's acceptable.
So you were previously sworn, is that correct, Mr. Barnhart?
Yes, he's previously sworn.
Why don't you grab your microphone?
And he can participate, as is.
Okay. And you were engaged by the applicant DAJ to provide testimony in this hearing, is that correct?
That's correct.
And are the plans that you're going to testify to tonight either prepared by you or under your direction?
Yes, myself under my direction, or some exhibits there that have been developed by other members of the team.
John, pardon me, can everybody hear?
No.
Okay. John, put the microphone up a little closer.
We have a mechanism that you can put in your ear. Does anybody want that?
Come on. It repeats the.
Yeah.
Okay.
We heard the last time.
You're fine.
Okay. I don't want to sound like that.
I like to do that. But, okay, good. So, in connection with your engagement by the applicant, have you been to this site on one or more occasions?
Yes.
Okay. And have you also had occasion to review the both underlying zoning, MU, as well as the redevelopment plan that I described in my introduction?
Yes.
Okay. And finally, have you had an opportunity to review the review letter by Mr. McLaurin, the planner and engineer for the board?
Yes.
Okay, then based upon that, would you describe the existing site conditions?
Sure. So I'm going to start with this exhibit that I have here to my right. It is an aerial image of the lot itself. As Mr. Clapper pointed out already, this is a parcel of land which is a total of 2.3 acres. It is bound by four streets, obviously frontage on Ventnor Avenue and frontage on Winchester Avenue, and then bound by Troy Avenue and New Haven Avenue. Currently on the site sits two buildings, the former Troy Avenue School, which is right here. You can see the roof of Troy Avenue School on this aerial. And then you have the Ventnor Professional Campus building, which fronts on Ventnor Avenue. The only other parcel of land on this block, which is not part of this project, is the firehouse that sits on the corner of Winchester and New Haven Avenues. The balance of the site, as you know, I'm sure everybody in this room is very familiar with the property, but the balance of the site is landscaped areas around the Professional Plaza, and then between the Professional Plaza and the school is asphalt, surface asphalt parking areas that are accessed from both Troy Avenue and New Haven Avenues. There's currently, on the perimeter streets, there is actually angled on-street parking that is open parking that is utilized by various folks. And you can see that in the area here, both on Troy and on New Haven. And then there's a small area of parking over on Winchester Avenue as well. The site is already serviced with all public utilities that are available on all four of the streets. And as part of our redevelopment, obviously, we'll be utilizing those existing utility services.
Now, starting with the proposal for the site, would you describe what our plans are for the existing building? Of course, we're going to demolish one building, is that correct?
That's correct. Troy Avenue School Building, which is the building on the corner of Troy and Winchester, will be demolished as part of this project.
And what do we intend to do with the building on Ventnor Avenue?
Sure. So the project basically has two aspects to it. It has a commercial component and it has a residential component. I'm going to talk first about the commercial component because it plays a large role in the success of this site. It's been a commercial site for many, many years. And our client set out to make sure that still is a very large component of this project, and that it has a commercial aspect to it, that is a meaningful commercial aspect, has a lot of leasable space, has a mixture of tenants, and can help support the community. So this is a kind of a nighttime vision or aerial of that front building, with the bottom of this rendered being Ventnor Avenue. And you can see the existing building, the improvements that are intended. Some of them have already taken place, in fact. A brand new masonry wall along the entire frontage of this building. We are proposing to upgrade and enhance the existing landscaping from what exists today. We're proposing to repollinate Ventnor Avenue with street trees to match the majority of the balance of the block. We are proposing two patio areas that flank the main entry coming in off of Ventnor Avenue. The final use of those areas has not been determined. I know our clients are talking to a number of different potential tenants to utilize those spaces. But they are intended to be, whether it be a small, you know, recreation area, or maybe it ends up being a patio proceeding for a restaurant, something of that nature, for those two patio areas to help activate those two front courtyards, put people on the street. The idea is, you know, as we all know, that is a very walkable community. And we've done many, many projects in this community over the last 2 years, and Ventnor's just the resurgence of Ventnor in the last 15 years has been absolutely wonderful, and we're hopeful that this is just another aspect of that. So you've got those two new patio areas. Again, use is yet to be determined, but the idea is that there's activity, there's lighting for people out front of this building. There's proposal for uplighting of the building, which currently doesn't exist to this degree. If you go by the building now at night, it's still relatively dark in areas. They want to really, really celebrate the interesting character of this building and maintain it, like, really, really glow in the vibe of the evenings. They're proposing some street lighting on top of each of the patios, again, to create some interest and some appeal to the front of this building. And then enlarge to fill the building with wonderful tenants that will be good corporate citizens within the city of Ventnor is the goal of this facility. Along with this building, and I'll just quickly flip through a couple of other, I'll say, versions or renderings of the building. That's a similar, just looking straight on to the front of the building. Again, this is another kind of little angle of the front of that building. One of the things I do want to point out, you can see here, we are proposing two very interesting looking architecturally appealing signs at the corner. They're kind of like a monument sign. They're both at the corner of Ventnor and New Haven, and at the corner of Troy and Ventnor Avenue, that will kind of flank and define the project, with the commercial aspect of the project being known as the campus. We envision that there will be some smaller signs below the word campus that will identify the tenants that are within that building. But again, just to really, really create a sense of an anchor type commercial building within the community. Yeah. Just a couple of that's just a head-on version of the main entry. You can see the uplighting really celebrating the existing architecture. And that's the same. So That's the commercial aspect of it. The other piece of the commercial aspect is that there is a redevelopment. I'm going to skip. I'm going to jump over to a rendered site plan. With this tan area, this tan building being the professional campus building that sits up on Ventnor Avenue. Behind that building, that would flank it on either side, access from New Haven Avenue and access from Troy Avenue. There will be two parking lots built or constructed to help support the commercial operation. There are a total of 27 parking spaces within those two lots. They will be ADA compliant as they are required to, and they will meet all the design standards of the city of Bend.
Are we also going to subdivide? Is that commercial lot going to be subdivided off from the balance?
Yes, that is correct. There is a subdivision line. You can see that tree colony. There's a subdivision line that goes along that tree colony. So the commercial portion of the project, that being the building, the new parking lots, the new patios that I was talking about just a moment ago, will all sit on its own lot at that point, separate from the proposed residential portion of the project, which is the rear of that.
All right, let's turn to the second part of the project.
Sure. So part two of the project is the residential component. That proposal is a total of five buildings, and you can see them in the brown shaded areas here. Those buildings have a mix of numbers of units, but the total unit count within the project is 34 residential units. They are townhouse type construction. Each one of those units will sit on its own individual piece of land, which means that there is a property line down the parting wall of each one of the units. So if you were to come in and you purchase a unit, you own your unit and you own your own land below your unit, this is not a condominium form of ownership. This is proud, peaceable ownership of your unit. The units, the four buildings that you see here that are in Detroit, New Haven Avenue, will be accessed by way of a roadway, a one-way roadway. We had a discussion with the planning board last time we were here. There was concerns about the traffic patterns in this area. There was some very meaningful discussion about that from some of the neighbors. And at that time, the determination was made that I think there was a consensus that the best path forward was a one-way drive from Lincoln to Troy Avenue, which is what the does actually now propose. That roadway. And discussion with Mr. Shropshire, that roadway is classified under residential site improvement standards as a special purpose roadway. It's a one-way alley. Given the average daily traffic for this site, falls well below even the most minor threshold of 250 trips per day. So that this road will meet all the standards of a special purpose roadway. Interesting fact, one other thing with regard to the roadway, in recent discussions, it was actually discussed with the city of Ventnor, and the proposal is actually to name that road Whaling Court. That didn't mean anything to me when I first heard it, but I did a little bit of reading. Mr. Kenny Whaling was a firefighter here in the community, and he lost his life in the line of duty in 1972, I believe. And he obviously is a very celebrated name within the community. So our client discussions with the city is proposing to name that street after him. Just want to get that real fast.
Tell us about the size of these units, the proposed townhome units, and the number of bedrooms.
Sure. So the townhome units are modestly sized. You know, our client's trying to get a price point. I hate to use the word reasonable in the residential world today because it's nothing reasonable. But our client's trying to hit a price point that is, I'll say, manageable by a host of folks that are looking to move into the city of Ventnor. Well, maybe they are in Ventnor, they want a smaller unit or a simpler unit within the community. Either three bedroom units, each one of the units will actually, even though they are only three bedrooms, will actually have three off-street parking spaces plus storage on the ground floor. So we are making certain we recognize that this is a major change, especially for the residents that live around this building, or around this block, I should say. So we're trying to make certain that it has at least amount of impact that it can to the neighbors. So that is why the decision was three bedroom units with three parking spaces, so that you have that ability to store your beach chairs, to store your bikes, to store your surfboards, but you still actually have the room to park cars both outside of the unit and inside of the unit. So every single one of these 34 units has three spaces. The As I mentioned, all of these four buildings will be accessed from Waverly Court. The fifth building will be accessed from Winchester Avenue. Again, those units are the same exact layout, but they will also have three parking spaces, but one outside and two in the garage area.
And along New Haven Avenue and Troy Avenue, there's a number of angled parking spaces. Does this site plan seek to maximize or maintain as many as those as possible?
It does, yes. The proposal is to keep as many spaces on New Haven and Troy as possible. There are a few spaces lost just as a result of the driveways. And just to be clear, the one location that we are eliminating the spaces is on Winchester Avenue, because that is the access for those units. That was discussed, I know, like the last planning board meeting. But that is the one area where the parking is proposed to be eliminated. But we are still proposing to maximize both Troy and New Haven Avenue with regard to that angled on-street parking.
Tell us about the site plan elements. I think you already said we're going to use existing utilities, correct?
That's correct. So we've been working with the Public Works Department, Superintendent Public Works and the City Engineer, for utility layouts. We will have a brand new looped water main that runs from Troy Avenue to New Haven Avenue, which will connect to both of those mains, which really helps with the circulation of the system in this area. Our buildings will all, or at least four buildings will all tie to those services, both sewer and water. Winchester Avenue services will tie to Winchester Avenue building, which will tie to Winchester services. And as I said, we've had a number of go-arounds with Public Works, and we're at a point where we met their concerns on how we were laying this out.
How about stormwater drainage?
So this site is a dramatic improvement just by way of construction from a stormwater perspective. So this project is the subject of a cabinet JDEV CAFR application, which is, I'm sure you're all aware, is a very, very rigorous review by the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection that is currently pending. This site appears to be they are stormwater quantity and stormwater quality. Because of the amount of existing impervious paved surface, or what the DEP calls motor vehicle surface, that's being removed, we meet the majority of those standards just by the removal of all of that existing asphalt area. That coupled with the amount of additional pervious area landscaping that we are implementing, this site will reduce the stormwater that leaves this property and will meet all the standards, and we will have proof of that when we're fortunate enough to receive our CAFR permit from the Department of Environmental Protection.
Tell us about the landscaping.
So there is a complete landscape package proposed, both streetscape and internal landscape. One of the things that was discussed at the planning board process the first time around was additional landscaping, some trying to create some additional open space, things of that nature. So since that original concept, this plan actually is two less residential units. We actually added an internal park area that links the residential to the commercial space. We also have developed a full colony of tree trees you can see between the two projects, as well as along our proposed way to the court. And we are also proposing to upgrade the entire perimeter of this block. This is not just about the internal development, but it's also about making sure that the perimeter of this block is in the character that it should be. So all of our findings will receive new sidewalk, new curb, new street trees. All of our frontages, what we are proposing is a residential style sidewalk, where right now you've got a wide concrete sidewalk. We're proposing a standard residential style sidewalk, where we have a full governor strip, a four foot wide sidewalk, and an additional grass behind the sidewalk before you actually get to the property line. So this project, both on Troy, Winchester, and New Haven Avenues, will have a dramatically softened edge to it as you walk down the street behind the units. And one of the things that we did when we looked at the orientation and how this project should be constructed, we had originally looked at some concepts that were developed by other folks who had buildings turned facing Troy and New Haven and Winchester. But what it was doing is it was creating a wall effect around the entire block. And while the units had nice backyards and such within them, it was, we thought, not inviting, not open, not creating any air, like little space through this property, which is why we made the decision to turn the units, so we have all the open corridors, landscaping, and air, like open space through the property from Troy and Glaven or vice versa.
How about access for regular emergency vehicles?
So access for vehicles, both regular and emergency, is very simple. It's coming down New Haven Avenue, Glaven Court, brings right into two-thirds of the units, and then you've got, you know, a very wide Winchester Avenue to get into the other side of the units that front on Winchester.
And we do prohibit parking for Glaven Court, is that correct?
There is no parking proposed on Glaven Court, that is correct.
So in your opinion, the access is adequate for both regular and emergency vehicles?
Absolutely, yes.
And finally, on the last site plan element, lighting.
Yes.
What do you do about lighting?
So we are proposing a series of streetlights throughout the court, and there will be architecturally pleasing lights to create a safe condition, but obviously not in the right condition. They will meet the ordinance requirement for lighting levels, and that plan has of lighting has been submitted with the application.
Now, you're familiar with the redevelopment plan, is that correct?
I am.
Okay. Is this project consistent? Does it meet the land use requirements, use requirements, and bulk requirements of the redevelopment plan?
Yes, all the uses that are proposed are permitted, all bulk standards, going to the lot area, setback, covers, the height, the parking requirements, all the things that you hear in the land use application. This project complies with those standards entirely. Without deviation, there are no variances being proposed or requested with the application.
Any waivers from any of the redevelopment plan requirements?
No, there was one topic that Mr. McClaren's reporter questioned whether we were asking for a waiver, and that's regarding profiles of utilities and roadways, and we are not requesting that waiver. We will be developing that profile for Mr. McClaren's review as part of our compliance process.
Could you briefly, or would you show the project architecture for the residential? You already showed the office building.
Sure.
The commercial.
So architecturally, this board will remember there was the first time we were here, there was a lot of conversation about the architecture itself. And so I wanted to kind of show you or start with the plan that we were going with when we originally came to this board. There was a lot of comment about that plan not necessarily fitting the character of Ventnor or the appeal of Ventnor as a coastal type of town. So we worked with our client, our team world worked together for a long time, in fact. There was a lot of push and pull. But what the actual proposal now is, and I think the team is very proud of it because I've done a lot of projects in Ventnor, and this architecture does meet the character of what you're seeing constructed in the city of Ventnor. That is a totally different appearance to the front of the buildings. There are stack decks. The top level is actually stepped back, so it's not moving on Glaven Court or Winchester Avenue. It has a lot of coastal character to it, and we think it really, really does fit in with the community. A couple other little tiny things that you might not notice at a quick glance, but the architectural team pulled in the brick from the front building, and the bottoms of these buildings are all going to be clad with a brick to kind of match the front building. If you look at our little court out front here, we're actually carrying that similar style brick through that area to try to make it feel like on campus, both a true mixed-use project of both residential and commercial space.
Yeah, also one of the things in Mr. McClaren's report was windows on the end elevations, so we do have windows on the end elevations, is that correct?
Yes, there are windows on the end elevations. The second level windows actually have little tempers, something similar to what we talked about in the prior application. And it might be hard to see from the distance, but there is more than just that. There's actually solid banding that breaks up each one of the floors. At the top level, the siding structure actually is vertical and changes. So there's a lot going on the end units. Of course, they are the end units, but there's no particular attention paid to that.
Okay. Yeah, we do have Mr. Regazzoni right here in the audience. If there's any specific questions that we didn't answer, have you had occasion to review Mr. McClaren's report?
I have reviewed it in detail. Yes.
Like 30 pages, correct?
I've read every word.
Good. And are there any conditions in that report that the applicant either doesn't want to comply with or can't comply with?
No, so the only two topics that I'll talk that I will mention specifically is the intersection of Winchester and Troy Avenue. We sort of clarified a recommendation to develop a what we would call a ball valve or objection of that corner for purposes of making it a more pedestrian-friendly corner. We have discussed that with our client, and they're more than happy to do that. So we'll work with Mr. McLaren to develop that detail at that location. The other thing I wanted to specifically mention is there was a discussion or comment about these units having elevators. There is no proposal for elevators, and we just wanted to make that clear on the record.
Okay.
Jack, is it possible that rendering could be passed amongst the board? Because the board hasn't, or both
sure.
renderings, so they can see the old and the new, and then we can get it in also available to the public to see as well after the board.
That's a new.
That's the old.
John, regarding the elevators, is it possible within the plan, is it a space can be allocated for a future elevator? Because everybody doesn't tend to get younger, they tend to get older. And with the FEMA requirements and the heights and so on, you get the number of stairs getting up into the units. The prediction is that potentially they become more important later in life. So rather than supply them now, but provide for them, or have a space that is usable in the plan, can that be looked at?
So, Mr. Cook, I'm not sure I'm the right person to answer that question regarding the architecture.
You're the best guy I got right now.
All I can tell you, Mr. Cook, is our client is not proposing elevators.
I realize that.
The units are three bedrooms, one and a half. There's not a lot of excess space within the units. Elevators, while they don't seem large, would actually create the space to have the elevator within the footprint of the unit. It does take up a lot of space, and I don't think it's something that our client wants to move. That's why we're moving that direction.
I'm asking just for consideration, because there's elevators of different sizes, and it's looking at a forward provision rather than something today that could be considered. That's all I'm asking in there. Just forward looking. I know you're not going to provide it. Not asking you to.
Okay.
But people will, the subject will come up in the future. And if we're building a development, there should be some solution that has been worked out, at least, for those who buy. Because years down the road, they're gone. And we still have the project. And it's a question that's going to be asked. So I'm just asking if you can assist us in some way. If you can't, then you can't. That's all. But it doesn't hurt to ask.
Thanks. I have nothing further from Mr. Barnhart. David, you were previously sworn, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And you are a licensed professional engineer. You do concentrate in transportation and traffic, is that correct?
That's correct.
And tell us a little bit about the scope of your review. You've been to the site on one or more occasions?
Yes.
Okay, and have you observed the parking, the angled parking that Mr. Barnhart referred to, as well as this site plan?
Yes.
Okay, have you also had an occasion to review the existing traffic and levels of service?
That's correct.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about your study, the proposed trip generation, what impact these traffic will have, if any, over the current use on the surrounding roadways.
For our traffic study, we did summertime, afternoon, and weekend traffic at the four intersections. That's around the site. We do order magnitude, signalized intersections along Metro, carry somewhere between 900 to 1,000 trips during the peak hours. And the intersection of New Haven and Winchester, about 200 peak hour trips. The intersection of Troy and Winchester, a little more than 100 peak hour trips. Just even more magnitude of what we're feeling. There was a big difference between the afternoon peak hour and the Saturday peak hour with regard to those volumes that were resulted in the system. And so we took that data and we evaluated what would happen with the increases that were generated from the residential and the modification of commercial. Now, what we found when we used the Institute of Transportation Engineers data with regard to projecting is that the total increase with modifications in the additional residential units, we're talking about 40 peak hour trips being generated by this redevelopment. And with those trips being distributed to those four intersections, when we reanalyzed looking at a total condition a couple years to build out and a fill condition, there was really no changes in levels of service with regard to how each one of the intersections operated. Every movement operated at a level of service C or better, which is an acceptable level of service. And what we found in terms of the increase in delay, which really drives the levels of service, is there was in effect less than 2 seconds of delay increase with regard to how this project impacts the overall street network. So with regard to the impact, we take over the conclusion that there's a minimal impact based on this. And obviously, we took into account the one-way flow of Wheeland Way and how that would access to the overall project. When we did our overall assessment, there was very low volume, as John had already mentioned, with regard to that street, just based on having a limited number of units on it. And obviously, with the lower volume of both New Haven and Montroy, the levels of service there, the levels of service there, that are very, very low to the land of those intersections. That kind of was in our report.
And we did submit a written report, is that correct?
That's correct.
So based upon the facts that you reviewed and just testified to, do you believe that this project can be built and maintained without significant negative impact on the surrounding traffic and roadways?
I do.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Sharma?
I have one question in here. Obviously, you're a traffic engineer, but it seems to me with the downtown ways developing and so on, that the proximity and the way the parking is set up, which is actually the end result of travel, is also very fortuitous for walk for pedestrians. And how do you have any opinion on how this will aid in the pedestrian aspect of the using the business district and so on?
Yeah, a very interesting question, because you know, when I think about the project and I think about short communities, the synergy that you have between the rooftops and the main streets is really there.
Right.
So that minimizes the overall traffic impact. And with regard to how this is oriented with regard to the annual parking, you basically have more parking on the street than you normally would have with the parallel parking. And so we're not losing all that much parking with regard to how this is going to be redeveloped. And that just adds to the overall synergy between the rooftops and the commercial side of the development. So, you know, if anything, if we were really looking at this from that synergy standpoint, we would probably reduce the overall trip generation because we know that pedestrian activity is going to be there. But we didn't do that to make the most conservative study that we could continue the results that we think are very conservative.
So then the beaches will say 2.5 blocks away to be a nominal. So the proximity of that is also within foot traffic range.
Absolutely.
And bicycle range and so on.
Absolutely.
Now, what provisions for bicycles are being made in the site?
Yeah, I'll defer to John.
Okay.
But, you know, one thing that we talked about prior to my business requirement report was trying to clean up that crosswalk area to improve the overall circulation for pedestrians and bicycles beyond what is private. So that's a good element for that.
And then how important is guest parking in a site like this?
Very good question. You know, RSIS basically says for every unit you should come up with 0.5 spaces per unit, and as John had mentioned, with three bedroom units, we look at the RSS parking limit, we're looking at about 2.3 parking spaces, so we actually have a buffer for guest parking with regard to the overall supply that's being given out there. Now, will that happen within the driveway? I'm sure some residents will park on the street as opposed to within the driveway, but they have the ability to utilize those spaces in the park in the driveway.
To your team, is it possible to create guest parking within this site? I just asked a question. I mean, since it's a realistic fact.
So we believe that we have it built in within the site by the virtue of the fact that we are proposing three spaces for every one of the units. But the roadway itself cannot provide for on-street parking.
That's a given.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, let's face it, man is an unpredictable guy. And they'll mess your plan up no matter how you try, how you do it. So I'm just asking, is there any thought, or can there be any thought, to looking if some guest parking can be created on the site? I mean, it's an afterthought, but we're reviewing a plan. And I'm asking about opportunities to better in your community and better our community and better than the city. So I don't expect maybe an answer today, but maybe you can look at it.
Well, I mean, I think that what the ordinance requires, two spaces for the unit.
Correct.
And we think the additional one for every unit could be used for guest parking. Also, you do have abundance of public parking, you know, on the adjacent streets with all the angled parking.
And the public doesn't want you to use their public parking, so when you add a new site. So it's just a question.
Sure.
The good neighbor policy would be is if you create some guest parking.
Right.
That would be fine, but we can't make it mandatory. So it's just a good idea.
Okay.
So I'm just asking you to look at that.
Okay.
And create a better job for the city of Ventnor. That's all I'm asking.
Okay. Any other questions? At this point, that would conclude our presentation. We do have the architect and the owners here if there's other questions.
Okay.
But one other thing I wanted to point out was, because there's some questions, there's going to be a homeowners association and there will be no Airbnbs permitted within this development. So you can't rent it out to a number of guests. That's going to be totally prohibited.
Now, your association, is it going to be a trust or is it going to be, how are you going to form that?
Well, it'll be a homeowners association with covenants and restrictions, which we'll be happy to show to the planning board. But one of the things, like I said, you're not going to be able to have short-term rentals or Airbnbs.
Okay. Will they have a cap as far as the number of units that can be rented within the site itself?
I don't think we're going to prohibit that, but it'll be you can rent it for, you know, a longer period of time.
Yeah.
I don't know what the minimum would be, 6 months or a year or something like that. You can't rent it for a week or 2 days.
So that's a very good idea. I'm thinking ahead. Board members, it's questions of the applicant. It's your point. Ask away.
Yeah, I have a question with regards to the density.
Sure.
I think you're indicating that it's what, 14.8 units per acre.
Yes.
I think that figure's a little skewed. If you're subdividing this lot and creating, you said that you were going to subdivide and separate out these commercial lots from the residential. That number also includes the Wayland Court, which is, what, about 32 feet wide?
Well,
so when I actually cut out the commercial portion of the lot, and then I cut out the 32-foot wide right away, I got closer to 30 units per acre.
Well, if you look at the definition of the Ventnor ordinance, net density is defined as the entire tract. And while we are going to subdivide it out for ownership purposes, We do have, if you subtract out Whalen Court, 7,100, approximately 7,000 square feet. You still have over 2 acres, and it's still, if it's not 14, it would be 15 or 16 units per acre, if you include the whole tract. You're correct, if you took out the commercial space, but you're allowed to count that in the calculation.
Are we allowed to count that if you're subdividing it and you're completely removing that commercial portion?
Sure.
Yeah, that was my question as well.
Okay, so you can keep the... Okay. Yeah, it just seems like a lot. I think, I guess when I view it, I think, when I view this from Troy and New Haven, I don't think enough's been done to the side of these structures to make it appear the front edge of a house. I think it looks straight up just a side of, as if you're looking down an alley, like a side yard. New Haven and Troy, I think, are really unique to Ventnor, because it's, what, maybe one of two of three east-west streets that are both two-directional. So I think that you're taking a lot away, and the majority of our frontage is on Troy and New Haven, yet we're just looking at basically the size of the structure. I don't think enough's been done architecturally to treat those frontages there. I would like to see bays, projections. I mean, even if there's a way to put a porch on there, I think that would go a long way. I just don't think, and I know that there's a lot you're trying to fit within this courtyard, front yard setback, but I think maybe it's just a few too many units, I think, that we're looking at. And I think if you were to lose two, ideally three units, I think that would aesthetically even make a big difference. I think it would fit in more with just the surrounding area and the community. I think you're not, you would lose that, basically looking as if you're going down just the edge of the structures.
Well said.
Chad, did one of your architects address that?
Probably. Joe, the question...
Please come forward, sir.
So the question goes into how can we address the side elevations of the...
Yeah, modulation, just any bit of visual, give it visual interest.
Definitely, we can improve on that. We can add more features to the side elevations in order to dress them up and make them look more of a frontal elevation instead of a side elevation. Depends on the side, unfortunately, I cannot make... I cannot give you an exact approach of how we can address any type of porches or side without the owner eliminating some type of unit, a number of units for that.
Exactly.
But dressing up the elevations and make them look more as a front elevation with more architectural elements, definitely we can do that.
I think that we need more than just kind of a canopy or projection, kind of looking at what we put on the last application, just because of how visual this area is, and it is such a critical major pass-through. I think the last application that was off to the side, that was not a major corridor where this is. And I think this whole project, this there's so much frontage here, and all I'm seeing is side of the building.
I mean, it would help tremendously if you took out the end units, one, two, three, four, five.
I think the reason why we did that, and your comments certainly take into account, I think one of the reasons why we did that was because we felt that when you weigh it, we felt that presenting the side rather than fronting the whole thing on New Haven and Troy would kind of create a wall effect, and we thought that would have less open space. We thought by turning them, because we originally had put the fronts on New Haven and Troy, we thought by doing it would create more open space. But your comment about, you know, fixing up the sides is valid.
I don't think Jessica's asking for us to turn the buildings. I think she's looking for something along that wall.
No, I understand.
I think both. I mean, whether it's turning buildings, I don't have a specific solution.
Right.
Because even, I mean, to build something on this frontage on Troy and New Haven would have, you'd still have to eliminate, I think, units to really give you that modulation and that visual interest that I think is really need to dress up that side there.
Jack, I think the real issue is, there's neighbors across the street. It's their front yard. We have, and ideally, front yards go to front yards. So if we could somehow enhance this site to make it palatable, actually, make it desirable for the city and for those who are driving down the street, so it all looks like a city, it looks like it belongs there. That's all I think is, am I right, Jessica?
Yeah, I think that's definitely, I think, the key thing is basically the frontage here. I also think that this, the middle portion of them, I mean, you don't really have any really clear space between those two structures with those fire pumps either. I think looking at just, there's such a little bit of clear space between that I feel like when you look at it, it's, you're not even, you're going to miss that little tiny area between it, and it's just going to look like a wall straight across. And you're not really going to gain that break in between the two different structures.
Even landscape, something to soften it, mm-hmm. You know. It's a solution that's needed. So, in here. And I think it'll add price points to the job, to be honest with you. It'll increase the value of the job.
I have to discuss it with my clients. We'll have to discuss it.
Yeah, I really have to discuss that and so on. But I think, you know, it seems like these things do add value to the community and to the job site in general. So. Because you're merchandising, it's what you're in the merchandising business. So the better the goods look, the better the price.
So. I mean, really, if you subtract out that commercial space, that's 1.09 acres, then you're left with 1.21 acres with 34 units. There's just too much density. If you cut out some of the end units and make some space in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, it does comply with the redevelopment plan, though.
Roger, could you just explain that again to mainly folks on the board? So the redevelopment plan considers this entire site as one entity.
Yeah.
Just the redevelopment plan.
I'll be right off.
The definition of density is 35 units per acre maximum density applied over the entire redevelopment area. Where townhome units are proposed on individual lots, a density shall be permitted as one residential unit per lot. However, the total project density shall not exceed the 35 units per acre maximum allowance. Residential units to be developed within the Vetner Avenue School Building count toward the total project density. So they're actually, what, half of what they're allowed?
Right. We could do 70 units, over 70 units under the redevelopment.
Yeah. Your density is your density at this point.
Right.
Okay. So, what's permitted there now, Roger? Without the redevelopment plan?
20.
How many?
20.
20 units.
Under the current zoning, 20.
Yes.
Yeah. And you would subtract out the road.
Right. Right. So there's still less than that.
Still less than under the current zoning.
So that's, if they took down both of the buildings and they could do 20 units per acre on the entire site, what's that unit come out to?
Yeah. Approximately 46.
Now, I think aesthetics are the key.
I think I calculated 31. If you cut out that and cut out the right of way, 31 units per acre.
Well, I'm saying tear this down.
You're saying
I want to see if this was a raw piece of land, what would the density be? Because part of what their argument is that they came to the city with, we want to preserve the building in the front, the campus building. In order to do that, we need a certain yield on these lots mm-hmm. to be able to keep this building to do that. So we're trying to find that happy medium here where we can preserve this building in the front as retail space and as well as get the number right for the residential units in the back. I completely understand your comments, and they're good comments. I don't disagree. But those end units are very plain. They're extremely plain. And that's, I'm going to steal one of the mayor's comments when we were running the first time. That's the handshake to this development. That's what we talked about when we first ran it, about creating a handshake to the city. We're trying to do that. We want to see if we can do that with this development coming in to this neighborhood. So
I would just, if I could just add two aesthetic points to that side. I think if you were to add the brick that you're adding as a characteristic of the building that kind of evokes the language of the school into the building, if that skirting was the entire first floor wrapped around that building, that would add a little bit of texture. And if the end units were set back so that a balcony also faced the street, just enough to add, even if it was just a massing a little bit. But I think you also have to take into account that this does meet all the requirements of the redevelopment plan. So every person in Ventnor has the right to develop their own property in the way that they choose. In this case, they are falling within the redevelopment plan by the way that the law is written. So those are my two aesthetic comments that would piggyback on yours, would be to create a frontage with the aesthetic brick around the face and maybe set back the top balcony. But the reality is they are townhouses.
Yeah, I think with that top balcony too, eliminating, right now you have just kind of a solid wall. You could keep that hole open around the edge of it too. I think that would make a big difference visually. So instead of kind of blocking it off and making it look more of a structure on that, from the front facade, well, the side. And then also, even a little more roof pitch. I think usually we like to see, this is, I think, proposing more of like a 4-12, even I think bumping that up to 5-12. And then, I mean, ideally, like I would love to lose like two or three of these in a perfect world, but even I think what you could potentially do is take one unit away from the middle and add it to the right side where that big park area is. And you could kind of office what it is. So you would have 7 and, is it 6? They'd be offset a little bit and have a smaller gap between them. And then you could maybe come off those front edges a little bit. And then, so basically this unit would maybe move over to here. And then you would lose maybe one unit on the front here. Does that make sense? I don't know.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. What is the way not to lose anything at all?
It's not really
what is the way not to lose anything? We don't want to take anything from you.
Right. I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack, we don't want to take anything from you.
I got you.
You got it by ordinance.
Yep.
And so that's the key.
Okay. Well, I need to talk to the clients, but.
Yeah.
All good comments.
But, now we're seeing the real thing, and it's good.
Yeah.
But there's a few things that come up and so on, and that we're just suggesting. And Mr. Waxman and company have been more than cooperative with the city. I remember when he came here 3 years ago, when he first bought the building. It was a cold day, and the whole idea of this has actually been going on, been purchased, actually started over 3 years ago. So this isn't something that just all of a sudden hatched, but it's been in the works. And he owned the building, and the building is actually, if I understand it correctly, is fully rented. Is that correct?
Almost,
okay. So, in any event.
Yeah, we'll talk about the suggestions.
Yeah. You want to talk about it at any time? We have to open it to the public yet.
You have to open it to the public, sure.
I just had a couple questions. Since we always know the parking is going to be a significant question, have you calculated how many street parking spaces are available now and how many street parking spaces will be available after the project is completed?
Yes.
So there, by striking count, there are currently 66.
We can't really hear you.
It's on.
Other than swallowing, I'm not sure.
By striking count, there's currently 66. However, some of those spaces don't actually comply with like setbacks from corners and things. So when you restripe it to meet the ordinance requirements, and the elimination of the spaces on Winchester, it goes to 43.
So 66.
Now, we can work with Roger and maybe get a couple of those spaces back, but that layout is a compliant layout based on Metro's ordinance. The striping that's out there now, while I'm not saying it's not being used for parking, and some of the spaces don't comply.
Okay, thanks. The two parking lots for the professional plaza, will they be somehow restricted to only professional plaza? And is
that office building?
Will that be like a gate? Will it be closed off? Is it the